Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Paul Dottino Report is brought to you by United Healthcare and their Oxford products by RE/MAX. Visit RE/MAX.com to find your home and agent now. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. And by Foxridge Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. The New York Giants are still alive. It's very simple. Just run the table and get about 15 to 22 things to happen. And if all that occurs, this man may be flying to Chicago in less than a month. And that is Paul Dottino. Pete Dott, how are you?
Hey, great to talk to you. And by the way, this may be the first time I've ever been a part of your bonus hour, so I feel very special
yes,
right now.
Yes, and we figured the best way to start the bonus hour is with Paul Dottino, because right now the Giants are red hot. They've won 4 out of 5. They destroyed them. I mean, the Redskin game was a laugher. I mean, you talk about destroying an opponent. They did it on both sides of the ball. I mean, first, give me your thoughts on what they were able to do to Washington 5 days ago.
Well, let's not forget that Mark Sanchez was... There's no doubt the Giants were dominant on both sides of the ball. They ran it incredibly well. They caused turnovers. Special teams played well, even though they had the one missed extra point. The passing game, everybody stepped up and shared the wealth without Odell Beckham Jr. in the lineup. So a litany of things went right, but I do think that a Redskins team at home in a position where they were still incredibly much alive for the NFC East Division title, and they had to play Mark Sanchez at quarterback. Mm. I will tell you, Evan, a spy who I have down there, very familiar with what the Redskins were doing during the week, told me that Sanchez did not even know half of the plays in the playbook. They were trying to coach him up as quickly as they could, knowing he was going to have to start, but they knew going in they were going to be significantly handicapped, and the Giants made them pay for it.
Mm. I'll tell you, and you know, you mentioned special teams. I thought early in this game, because we forget, before it became a blowout, both the Giants and Redskins had traded a handful of punts, I'd say, for the first 6 or 7 minutes of this game. When the Giants, I think it was Hamilton, made a great special teams play, downing the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Yes.
That was such a huge play, because that set up the Curtis Riley interception on the Martin tip, which turns into a touchdown. So I think special teams almost was the thing that really turned the way that game was looking over the first half of the first quarter.
It was a big deal. Riley Dixon has been a terrific punter all season long. I think very underrated. Quietly, he has been a key factor in the Giants' resurgence, although he had a very good first half of the season. Nobody cared because the team was 1-7. But he has done an exceptional job of hang time, and also of getting balls down inside the 15 and the 10. And the Giants have done a good job of covering and downing kicks all season. What they had not done a good job in the first half of the season was returning kicks. And now, of course, Corey Coleman's doing a good job on kickoff returns. They got Jawil Davis now returning punts because Henderson got hurt, and they're doing a better job on those as well. So, absolutely. It's astute of you to notice that, because I do think that was the first turn.
Paul, we lose him? We lost
Hello,
him.
Hello, Paul?
Paul, are you there?
Paul, are you there? Are you there? Yeah, it really did feel like it changed the game, because remember,
right. yep.
at the beginning of this game...
Yeah, and it was like a punt-a-thon.
Yeah, the Giants weren't doing anything offensively either. Saquon Barkley had that big drop. At the time, it was a big drop. Mm-hmm. Now you laugh about it because of what he was able to do on the ground. Guy went for 170 yards, but even mentioned it after the game. He had that drop. The offense wasn't doing anything, and Riley Dixon laid that punt down. It bounced inside the 5-yard line. It was down by Hamilton, and as Paul was talking about, Mark Sanchez was... clearly not prepared for this game, and maybe it's just because he wasn't in the building for a few weeks.
And probably was.
Like you talked about, and to have him in a spot in which he's throwing the football from his own 1-yard line, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You knew it could lead to bad things. We got Paul back. Sorry,
Paul's
Paul.
Back. Paul, I got to ask you this, Paul. What? Forget about all the machinations that have to happen for them to get into the playoffs. Do you see them running the table, though? Because that has to happen, obviously, the most important thing. How about that?
Well, Well, I think the toughest game is the Colts in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is playing extremely well, a candidate for comeback player of the year, as is Odell Beckham Jr. actually as well. But I think that Colts game, especially because it's going to be in their building and they're going to have a ton to play for, that's probably the toughest of the three games left on the schedule. By all means, the Titans are going to be a difficult team to play, especially if Odell Beckham Jr. is out. You know, today he's getting that bruised quad examined by a specialist off campus, and it's looking more and more like he may miss another game. So that will be a challenge for the Giants, although they certainly put up some offensive firepower last week in Washington. The Titans game could be tough. Dallas game could be kind of tough. But I think that the Colts game is probably the most difficult on their schedule.
I agree with you. And because we don't even know what Dallas is playing for.
Dallas may have the division wrapped up already by that point. So you don't know, you know. One thing about the Titans, you don't know what you're getting with the Titans. I mean, I watched them play the Jets, and if it was another team, they would have won. They mailed the game in against the Jets. But the Jets, you know, they're horrible, so they lost. You know, and then they're the team that also, you know, smacked the Patriots around a couple weeks before that. And you saw what they did to Jacksonville, although I don't know where Jacksonville's mindset is anymore. So you never quite know what you're getting from Tennessee. I mean, sometimes they look like they're, you know, a really good football team. And sometimes you watch them, and this could be said for Mariota too. And sometimes you watch them, and they just don't look very good.
Well, I agree with you in terms of execution. You never know if they're going to execute or not execute. But in terms of their philosophy and their game plan, Joe, it's actually written all over their faces. They run the ball 48% of the time, the second most in the NFL.
Right.
They want to run, and more run. That's number one, because they want to take as much pressure off from Mariota as they can. But they're only averaging 19 points a game on offense, which is 27th in the NFL. So they don't want to outscore you necessarily. They want to outlast you. That's really what they want to do, because their defense has only given up 19 points
a
game, which
is
fourth best in the NFL.
Right.
You know?
So
they've got a very solid front seven. A very stout and fundamentally sound front seven. They commit the fewest penalties in the league. They probably have the fewest missed tackles in the league. Very, very good, sound tackling team. So usually, if they follow their blueprint, they're a lot like the Bears in terms of the blueprint that they want to use. If they follow it and execute properly, they feel they're in a very safe position to outlast you and watch you self-destruct and win the game. Now, when they can't do that, when they get behind, when they're forced to throw the ball a lot more than they want to, all of a sudden now things change and they're like a fish out of water and they can look really, really bad. I'll give you one particular stat, though, from the Giants' perspective that I think is absolutely the most critical stat in the entire game as you look at this matchup. Mariota, on third down this year, has scrambled 18 times. He has converted the first down on 14 of those 18 times. No other quarterback in the league has run for a third down conversion more than Marcus Mariota.
Interesting.
And think about that. And he's averaged 6 yards plus per carry on those runs. He is very crafty on converting those third downs.
And he's been in the league now for 4 years. He's also run the football more times this year than any year of his career. He's been more aggressive using his legs to beat you than even he was last year and the year before that.
Well, and he's had to because, again, this is a team that's given up over 40 sacks this year. They're right up there with the Giants in terms of top five in the NFL in sacks allowed. Mm. People are getting a lot of heat on the quarterback, and he has had to escape, especially on third down, and he's been able to do it. He's not necessarily a big-time runner on first or second down, but on third down, he's going to find the sticks. So that, to me, his ability to move the chains and keep drives alive, especially when you got him in trouble, that may be the most important factor of the game for the Giants.
Mm. Interesting.
We're talking to Paul DeTino. We got to get to this Beckham thing. I want to get back to it.
Go ahead.
What happened? Because he wasn't listed on the injury report. It felt like it came out of nowhere. You're following this closer than us. What happened with Odell last week to now?
All right. On Friday last week, he was held out of practice because of a bruised quad. He was kicked, leg whipped on the final play in Philadelphia. We discussed that last week. It was then decided on Friday night that he was going to go get an MRI because the bruise in his quad was not healing like it's supposed to. Now, you and I, we're weekend warriors, right? We get whacked or we stub our shin on something, and you get that nasty bruise. And usually after about a week or so, it starts turning yellow or brown or greenish, and it starts to fade and go away. That's the way bruises are naturally supposed to work. Well, the problem is his bruise is lingering. And it's like, okay, so that's not normal. That's not right. So 2 weeks after the fact, they decide, okay, let's send him for an MRI. This bruise isn't healing like maybe exactly the way it should be. So he goes for the MRI last weekend, and they decide, okay, you know what? Something isn't quite right here. Let's be cautious about it. Don't play him against the Redskins. So he doesn't get on the train and doesn't go to Washington on Saturday and misses the Redskins game. Yesterday, he gets out there and he does all the warm-ups. He does limited participation in practice. And quite frankly, I even posted the video on Twitter. He looked fine. He was spry. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. But again, he gets up this morning and that bruise doesn't seem to be going away. And I think, you know, you and I both know when doctors see something that's irregularly not healing itself, they get concerned. Yeah. So he was sent to a specialist over at the Hospital for Special Surgery in Manhattan this morning to undergo some type of more testing, and I don't know specifically what it is, to find out why is this bruise not healing like it's supposed to? And that's where the Giants stand right now.
I've heard this so much over the years at the NFL, and it drives me crazy. Is the coach anointed him that he revealed too much about the injury, or is that overblown?
I think that's overblown. I think that, you know, he would obviously coaches like to keep things in house. And as Shermer said yesterday, I've told you what I've told you, and I've told the players not to discuss their injuries. So I don't think you're getting more out of them. There's no doubt that he'd rather keep it closer to the vest. I mean, that's the way all coaches in this league are nowadays. But to say that he's annoyed at him, again, I wish you'd follow directions. But more like a slap on the hand after you took a couple extra cookies out of the jar. I don't think it's that big a deal.
By the way, Carson Wentz fracture in his back. Just want to throw that in there.
That sounds painful.
Yeah. You know what's funny about a fracture in the back?
I'm telling you, watch Nick Foles go on a big run.
No, I bet you he plays.
You think so?
Yeah, because
depends. I guess it depends where it is, right?
Well, I had a fracture. I got hit by a taxi while
biking. You had a fracture in the back?
That was my diagnosis. And when I first heard it, I was like, oh, my God, am I ever going to walk again? And the doctor's like, yeah, it heals on its own. It's
right.
Not almost downplayed it. And I think with Wentz, it's just about the pain tolerance with it. So we'll see how Philadelphia is with it. But fracture in back, I know this. It's just worse than what it really is. It sounds worse than what it really is.
It sounds like a broken
back. Evan, could I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you had that fractured back, did you get sacked by a 275-pound lineman?
No, it was a taxi.
No,
it was even heavier.
It was a taxi. It was worse.
Right.
Okay, I'm just checking. Yeah. I'm just checking.
Taxis are a little bit heavier.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though. After you got the injury, if a lineman had then gotten you a couple of days later, it probably wouldn't heal so well.
Let me tell you something. And if Carson Wentz plays, God bless him, I could barely walk with that. Yeah. So if he goes out there and plays.
We'll see.
And I expect that because I think football players are a lot tougher than guys like me and you and John.
Yeah, well,
maybe not you,
maybe
Paul.
Not Tino.
Maybe not you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Foles has proven that he can win games. I think they're better off sitting Wentz out.
Yeah, you're probably right. And they're playing the Rams, too. I mean, it's not like they're playing anybody easy here.
Be honest with me. This is all about winning. As a fan, as a guy who covers the team, you want to see a team in the playoffs. Do you have like a sheet of paper?
Yeah, you do. Come
on. Every possibility that has to go the Giants' way for them to sneak in at 8-8. Are you analyzing that yet?
There are four teams they have to leapfrog, and there are seven different storylines in combination that all have to fall exactly like dominoes for the Giants to get in, and we don't have another 45 minutes to explain each one of them.
Did you go over to the racetrack and put a couple of shekels on whatever the number is?
I'll tell you something, Joe. It is a million to one shot. There's no question. But what I will say is, just having that possibility exist has injected some swagger and some life into this locker room.
I'm sure. Because
it's a much different team since the bye. There's no question. It's like night and day. It's like that team doesn't exist anymore, and this is a totally different team. And it's been a lot more fun to be around them. I'm not going to deny that.
I'll tell you one thing, 8-8 may very well get you into the playoffs. I'll tell you right now. I mean, when you look at the, you know, right now, Minnesota's sitting there at 500 with the second wild card spot. So, you know, you never know.
Well, it's happened before.
Oh, of course.
You know, remember the Giants did that once before. Well, the Jets have done it once before.
1991, absolutely. And we also saw a Seattle Seahawks team win a division at 7-9.
That's correct.
And you know, win a playoff
game. Beat the Saints. Yeah. Right.
Well, see, I think to be honest with you guys, if you really want to see the value of what the Giants have done, even getting themselves back into this position, dusting themselves off, coming off of the floor mat, if you will, when you asked me, I think, a week or two ago, Evan, about what do you think of the job that Gettleman and Shurmur has done, right. And isn't this a disaster? They've only won 4 games. And I said, no, it's not, because look at what they've been able to do to cultivate and turn over this team and get them on the right track again. And that, to me, is actually more valuable than anything else. The Giants are feeling good about themselves again. They know they got probably, 35, 40 keepers going into next year, which, as you know now, they only have 13 guys on the roster who played on last year's team.
Right.
That's how bad last year's team.
I think that's most in the
they're
league.
They're clearly right? building yeah. something here yeah. that they're going to be able to take into next year. That's what makes this a success.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about this. It's how you get to a certain destination, not just the destination. If they finish 8-8 after starting the year 1-7, it's kind of remarkable when you think
about
it.
Even 7-9 would be actually something to tip your cap to.
Yeah, sure. No, I get it. You think they'll win? You think they'll beat the Titans on Sunday?
I do like their chances against Tennessee for a lot of the reasons we discussed before. I do think they've got some good karma going. Tennessee, by the way, has been habitually over the course of the season, and we can debate why or why not such a good road team. They have been much better in terms of executing that game plan we talked about when they're home. I don't know why. What, they like their beds better? I don't know. But yeah, I do like the Giants to squeak out a close one.
What's the line? What, 2.5 point favorites, the Giants? Isn't it 2.5?
I don't know what the line is, Joe, but you know, that sounds like, you know, I'm thinking an Aldrich Gross's field goal might be the difference.
There you go. I'm telling you, right over to the Meadowlands, bro. And then you get the number on what – you probably get a good number on them making the playoffs. It might be worth a shot.
Yeah.
I'm doing
you know what,
service,
Joe?
Paul.
This may
I'm
surprise you.
I probably won't.
Even with legalized gambling in New Jersey, that's
gamble.
Not something I partake in
ever.
Nope.
You even like a flyer on good odds on something.
No. You know why? You know why? And I'm not trying to be funny. I've covered this league and this team now for 36 years.
Right.
I love what I do. I'm passionate about it. I dive into it, and I believe that if I had any George Washingtons involved on a game, it would alter my perception, and I can't have that happen.
Nice.
I need to be able to be as pure in my study as I possibly can. I try to put myself in the minds of a coach when I look at a game, and I can't do that if I've got George Washington's on it.
God knows you do. I'm telling you, man, one day we will be there when Dottino goes into the Ring of Honor. They're going to put him. Now they're going to put you right between LT and YA. I'm just going to put you right there.
No, they're likely to put me in a swamp next to a couple of mosquito houses or something down here.
Next to Jimmy Hoffa? Is that what you're trying to say?
You know, Jimmy's actually under the toll plaza here at 16W.
I heard he was in the old stadium. That's what I had heard.
That's what a lot of people thought, that he reached up and he knocked that ball out of Jerry Rice's hands in the playoffs in 86.
Right. There you go.
No, I understand he's under the toll plaza, but I'm not going to tell you which booth.
Yeah, don't do that. Okay?
Thank you, Paul.
See you, Paul.
You got it.
Paul Dottino on the Giants.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.